I think he ended up spending about an hour on the tarmac in Cleveland as they waited for a gate. And then I brought him home, and in our conversation coming home, I asked him to take the next period of time and spend with his family. If you remember, Laura was in the hospital for several days on Monday and Tuesday. I told him I'd take this morning's message for him and that he really should not be in the office until after the holiday. So just so you know, that's what happened there. He's not abandoned us in any way. He was very happy to be home, but because of what the family's been through in the last couple weeks, he really needed to invest in there, and we really wanted to encourage that. So that's where he is. Number two, you'll find sign-up sheets out in the, what do you call that area? Gallery for the sign-up for the pre-membership classes. There's been a change from the letter you received. Rather than doing two classes, we're going to do one. I think there's five, is that right? Five different times that are there, some daytime, some one weekend, a couple evenings, one a later evening following the Wednesday night thing, that we just put it there in case that serves some people schedule-wise. So if you want to check out there, and if you're, and we hope you are, if you're planning a member with Grace Fellowship Church in October, we'd ask you to attend one of those classes. It's not a big, complicated thing. It's getting to know each other. And we really hope that couples would separate for that meeting and let other people get to know you. We assume you probably know your husband or wife pretty well. And if they're in, if you've got an adult child, they probably know you pretty well. If you've been in a Bible study for the last 20 years with the same people, you know each other pretty well. Try to split it up so you're getting to know some of the other people that you are fellowshipping with and committing to. Okay, so do take a moment to sign up out there. The third thing is I need to seek your forgiveness and ask for forgiveness and make an apology. When the membership letter went out, a couple of you mentioned that there was a word you had not heard before in that letter. That word was acquisition. And it has caused some discomfort and some questions. It was not in any way a thought of trying to deceive the process that was going on. Further discussion with some of the leaders indicated that it was probably a term we used a lot in leaders' meetings, in the elders' meetings, in the board meetings during that time. But it did not get transferred to the community meetings that we held. And Tom used the term to rebuild, taking it down to the studs, taking it down to the foundation and rebuilding. But we didn't use the term acquisition, so I apologize for doing that and sending you into, some of you in a tizzy. The reason for that was that the ARC, at that point in time, you were looking at being acquired by another church. And the ARC said, why don't we acquire you rather than another church? And so that's where that was the beginning of the terminology. Regardless, it's not a real acquisition. Most acquisitions, we would take over, and that'd be the end of it. Actually, what we're doing is saying, by January, we hope to have your local elders back in place, and we'll still be involved in the rebuild, which can take 5 to 10 years. I mean, that's not a slow, quick process. We've made great strides in the last 3 months. But it's our goal to turn it back primarily to Grace Fellowship and who you are. So in doing that, though, we've come up with new constitution bylaws. And I think part of what was there that was problematic was that in the letter I said that we wouldn't, that's not a voting thing for the congregation. It's not a voting thing because it was an acquisition, but legally it's not a voting thing because the documents that we are functioning under until that point are the old documents. The old documents said the elders and the board had the authority to do that. What we will be doing is in October, when we finally sign the papers, it will actually put part of the authority back into the congregation to change those will be your responsibility. The elders won't be able to do it on their own. So that's taking place. I hope that clears something up. I'm not going to take questions because I want to get into the message. And if you have questions, I'm not trying to not have them, but I'm here and I'll be happy to talk with you about those things. So it's a temporary thing, and I apologize again, ask for forgiveness for using acquisition in there. I know it did cause some discomfort. Okay, let's see. There was another thing in here. Got that. Okay, the other thing was that some of you have asked about finances. That apparently at some point they used to run the financial report in the bulletin, at least somewhat. What I don't have the details of that. I've seen the paperwork. What I can tell you is that our giving is above budget, which is a good thing. Our expenses are above budget, which aren't necessarily good. However, our expenses are below income. Okay, so as I can read the report, we are in the plus category, just so you know. And we'll try and get some kind of reporting back to the bulletin, and so you're kept abreast of that, because we don't want to hide that from you, okay? All right. So we have been doing, for the last number of weeks since June, going through the 9 marks of a healthy church. And this is actually the final talk on that subject. And this talk is on leadership. If by chance you read the 9 marks book, you may not recognize this talk, because I took it from leadership. I read it, I've gone over it a couple times, but I've obviously adapted it to how I think it needs to be presented, and a good way to do that. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 5:1-6 to begin. All right, let's pray. Father, these mornings are so full sometimes, and it's easy to get caught up in the things that surround us and lose sight of your word and who you are here. Thank you for the worship team this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for claiming you as the great I am. And Father, as we go into your word now, we just ask that you would both allow me to choose words to speak in a way that would glorify you, and also, Lord God, that each one of us could receive what you would have for us this morning. Lord, you love us, and we know that, and we love you, and we desire to glorify you this morning. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. 1 Peter 5:1-6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I, too, am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I, too, will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you younger men, that means me, by the way, must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Specific word to elders, okay? And it gives the task before us as an elder. Care, watching, and that's about it. Example, leading by example, you know? But it tells us how to do that, willingly, not grudgingly. Sometimes it's really easy for an elder to get to the point in time where they're kind of becoming, well, I got to do this because nobody else is there to do it, and God put me here once upon a time, and now I can't get out of it, and those kind of thoughts go on. I know some of you might not understand that, but having been an elder for 23 years in a church, I can tell you they come, where you just kind of do it because you've got to do it. But it says, because you're eager to serve God, and that becomes isn't that a hallmark for all of us? It's not just elders we're talking about here. You and I are supposed to serve eagerly. You know, I think the scriptures are very clear that some scriptures, they talk about the character of an elder in Timothy and Titus, you know. And it's really easy to say, well, that's because they're in leadership and they're primary and they're out in front of us, and say it doesn't apply to me. But that's not true. All of those characteristics are supposed to be part of who we are as a body of people. And so here again, you know, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. That's, as an elder, that's my job. But you know what? It's your job too. It's your job to care for one another, because we're a people, we're a body of people, we're a community. It says, watch over it willingly. I need to do that. You need to do that. Be watching over one another. Not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it. And there becomes the catchword. It's not because you're paid. It's not because somebody's going to look at you and say, oh, there's an elder. There was a time I felt like that sometimes, you know, at the, early on when I wasn't the character I am today. But on the other side of that, there are people who put elders there. Not that the elder does it, but they put this wall between themselves and the elder because they're supposed to be different. The fact is, we are people of God. And the elder is a role that some of us serve in. And there's other roles that are just as important and as functional. So, because you're eager to serve God, are you eager to serve God today? Are you, right here, sitting here, are you eager to serve God? And then don't lord it over. You know, it's not a matter of beating anybody over the head. It's not a matter of flagellating. Remember, some of you might know, historically, there have been, and there still are today, there are sects that will beat themselves, particularly during Holy Week or something, to try to get closer to God in their eyes. We're not talking about that. It's not lording. Lording is making, but to be an example. Lead them by a good example. So an elder is held up in that sense, that we are to be a good example, and we're not to give up on that. But I think it applies to whether you're a deacon, a ministry leader, a group leader, a work crew director, a teacher, a parent, or a child. All of this applies to all of us. That's the way of life that we're supposed to be having. Younger men must accept the authority of the elders. That's always a tough one. Depending on where your age bracket is, on which side of that you sit. Harder as a son to continue to honor and respect your dad, especially as you grow older. And depending on how the relationship with your dad was, it doesn't say if they're good, it doesn't say if they're following God, it just says, young men, accept the authority of the elders, in this case the elders, and all of you, it says, and all of you, everyone, serve each other in humility. We are called to be servants of one another. All right, so that's one aspect of that leadership, of that eldership we're talking about. But, you know, there's another one, and I know some of you would love for us to spend months on this. Maybe someday we can, but there's the whole area of gifts. So Romans 12, 6 to 8 talks about it. It says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Okay? Gifts. So there is a gift of leadership. There is a gift that God gives to certain people. But it's only one of the gifts that go. There are many gifts out there, and we need to honor all those gifts. Going on into Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, a scripture most of us are very familiar with. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As we talk about leadership, leadership is elders, but it's much more than elders, because there need to be leaders in many different areas. Leader means you've got somebody who answers to you. You know, if you're the work crew and it's your job to build the 5-story addition, okay, you're the leader of that work crew. If you're responsible for hospitality and to see that coffee is made and to see the sugar is available, lots of sugar, and to see if there's coffee and strong coffee, you know, if that's your job, you're the leader of that. And so when we talk about leadership, you're included in that. It's not just elders, okay? It's not just elders. And it's when all of that fits together. Number one, that would state maturity, and that would also be how God is talking about. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Okay, when we're trying to compete with one another for roles, when we start competing with one another for leadership, start competing with one another for jobs, that's not the perfect body of Christ. That's not how He's fit us together. We have gifts, okay, and we have roles, and we need to let that happen in a way that is helpful to everyone. Okay, so when we talk about leadership, what I want you to hear is that it's not just talking about the elders or the deacons or the ministry leaders, but it's talking about anybody who is taking responsibility for some act in the church, some part of church life. That could be getting meals for somebody, anybody, okay? And as leaders, when we do that joyfully, excitedly, happily, then there's a spirit within the church that whelms up and just blesses everyone. It's a good place to be. I like being in that kind of place, okay? Now, the last point I'm going to bring up is the contentious point, okay? You're not going to like it. I don't like it. Hebrews 13:16-17. I added 16 to soften 17. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Okay. I have a problem with that scripture. Don't tell me to obey. Okay? It's like somebody coming up and saying, why? Because I said so. Just do it. That's how I would treat my child, you know, when they were still youngsters. If I did that now, I might get decked. He's big enough. But the idea, obey your spiritual leaders, okay? And then to do it because it will be good for you. And I don't have the answer for this scripture because I don't think it means blind obedience. Okay, I don't think it means that we just sit back and do whatever leadership says, whatever that is. I think there is room for discussion, question, in some cases challenge. Because he also says obey the king as the one who has authority. His authority comes from God, but even the early church found places where it said, we will not obey. They would not declare Caesar as Lord. And they paid the consequence for that. And I think when we look at it, when it says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say, the danger is, two, we totally discount it, or the other is, it becomes blind obedience. And our leaders are not perfect. Okay? So, I've had experience with this. Must have been about 85. Ray came to me. You all know who Ray is. I know who Ray is. And Ray said, I want you to finish your master's paper. I had done everything except for the master's paper. I was at the six-year limit. You had 7 years to complete it. I was at year six. He said, I want you to complete it, which means writing a small book, you know. And I'm pastoring the church. I've got young kids. Let's see, at that point, we've been a pretty substantial church, probably about 200, 250 people, I'm guessing. And I argued, I think. I'm not sure how well. I didn't fight hard because I knew where the scripture was. But he said, I think it will benefit you down the road. And so I took the year and I did it. I obeyed. And we found out in 2003 that probably one of the reasons we were able to get our visas and stuff for Brazil for the years we were down there was because I had a master's in biblical studies. And at the time, they were requiring a master's to get a missionary visa. Now, and that was, you know, 9 years later. Right? So, but it was doing something I didn't want to do. I had my elders. I wish you could have known my elders at the time. They're different now. But as it was, Dave and Ken were my elders. And we're sitting around, and we had a unique relationship with a neighboring church, church that I came out of and actually paid for my seminary, and the pastor. And he would send people to our church. Anybody go to him and say, you know, Pastor, I just think I want more. What can I do more? And he'd say, go see those people in Elyria. Because we were doing communal living, we were doing the radical stuff back then. One day, we had some issue with that church, and my elder said, Rick, we want you to go and talk with him. And we want you to go to the office and don't leave until you talk to him. And I'm there like, you got to be kidding me. You know, this guy has a church of 800. I'm just going to walk in and say, I want to see the pastor. And they're going to say, sure, come on in. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And it did not have the results that Ray's did. Okay? Because I went to that church, and I went to his secretary, who I knew, and I said, I've been instructed to meet with pastor to talk about some things, and I'm supposed to wait until he gets back. So I'll just be waiting here in the office until he has time. He was out of town. He wasn't going to be back for days, you know. So I went home. I think the essence here, the scripture, obey your spiritual leaders. I think there's definite truth to that. But it's not a blind obedience that you enter into regardless of what the request is. That it means there is a respect, there is an honor that is given to leadership. And that where it's possible, we should obey. We don't have to challenge everything. Do any of you have kids that say, let's see, my mom might say, Rick, go get the mail. And you say, why? You know, or pick up your room. Why? Make your bed. I'm going to mess it up in 10 hours. You know, every question, everything they ask you to do, you've got to challenge. Anybody have kids like that? Anybody like that? Yeah. Okay, yeah, you understand that, you know, and that is definitely not the way we relate to leadership and to spiritual leadership. We should expect the best. Sure, we've been abused. Everybody has experienced some kind of spiritual abuse over the years, unless you're a brand new Christian, in which case I give you warning. At some point, there's probably going to be some issues. But our essence, the nature of it is that we are submitted. Good word, by the way, because Jesus was submitted to the Father, but we are submitted to our leadership, and we want to make it easy for them. Because our leadership, and I have, as an elder, and one of the hallmarks of the Alliance for Renewal Churches is that as an elder, as a senior pastor, there is someone over us also. You know, I'm not the top man. There's somebody above me. And you know Tom. Tom is one of those guys. Ray's been my pastor for since 1980. Tom Padley was my pastor in Brazil. Ned Berube was my pastor. So at this point, I'm not sure which one's the one. I know Tom's the president, so he probably takes priority, but they've all got that input in my life in a spiritual way. And we just need to honor that position God has given those people in our lives and saying, I want to obey you. It's not I want to challenge you. I want to obey you. I want to bless you. I want to make it easy for you. And I think that's what the scripture is saying. And it's hard. Give them a reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. It's hard. Yes. Well, it's true. However, even that confidence, you know where it all rests, guys? Do you trust God? I mean, that's where it comes down to, because your leaders aren't just plopped on you. You have some action in approving them and putting them in place. And so it's you and God who have placed them there. And to trust God that He knows what He's doing can be hard. You know, but it's there. And as leaders, in leadership, when we talk about leadership, that's where the bottom line falls. As with most of our life, it falls in, do we trust God? Okay? Thus ends the examination of 9 marks of a healthy church. Let's stand and pray. Father, it has been a bit of an adventure going through these 9 marks. And Lord God, we're grateful for the wisdom, the insights you've given through it, the ways in which it's formed and shaped us and challenged us. And Lord God, as we move forward, we'd rather be a healthy church than to look at what it takes to be a healthy church. So help us, Lord God, to move forward in faith, trusting you, trusting our leaders, trusting one another, as we walk together into the future you've laid out for us, Lord God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just before you, don't sit, just while you're standing, and I'm going to turn this over to John, just a minute, John. Next week, we will begin a study of the book of Ephesians. Just so you know, we're going to be going through Ephesians for the next fall time. So just to let you know. Okay, yours.